Take the roll, please.
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ronald Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff, Justin Johnson, city manager, Ashley Coronado, city clerk, Sharon Bono, finance director, Mark Berlinet, fire chief, Andy Heratic, interim public works director, Britt Hansen, city attorney.
Thank you. For the invocation tonight, let us reflect on all the good things in our lives, our family, our friends, the fabulous community that we live in, and the fun things that we do. And so for all the good things in our lives, whatever that might be, let's reflect on that with a moment of silence. Thank you. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a few proclamations to hand out tonight, and I will start with this one. To recognize the honoree of the Prudential Spirit of Community Awards. Whereas Kiki Pena, recently named as one of the state's top honorees in the Prudential Spirit of Community Awards program, exemplifies the value of volunteer community service and is a role model to other youth as well as adults in our community. And whereas supervising numbers of volunteers and communities across the nation are like Kiki Pena, a student contributing time without expectation of reward other than the gratification that comes from helping others. Some of these young people work in established groups. Others seek new and unique ways to help others on their own. And whereas recognizing these young volunteers and encouraging others to follow in their example is the aim of this nationwide program conducted by Prudential Financial and the National Association of Secondary School Principals. Its aim is to reach into every community in all 50 states and the District of Columbia to identify and honor these unsung heroes locally, state by state, and then nationally in the hopes that their recognition will serve to stimulate others to volunteer service. And whereas, as mayor of the city of Bisbee and on behalf of our city, I commend Kiki Pena, our Prudential Spirit of Community Award honoree, for her outstanding volunteer contributions to others and our community. And therefore, in honor of this achievement, I am proclaiming Wednesday, April the 6th, 2016, as the Kiki Pena Prudential Spirit of Community Recognition Day in the city of Bisbee. Kiki, would you like to come forward? We're very proud of you, Kiki. Councilmember Klein, do you have a comment?
I do. I want to congratulate Kiki. I have her in my seventh hour class, and she comes in every day with a smile, and it doesn't matter what we're doing, she always works very hard and to the best of her abilities. And I'm very proud of you.
Our next proclamation is Water Awareness Month. Whereas water is one of Arizona's most vital and precious resources, and whereas Arizona is an arid state where water is scarce and population continues to increase our demand for water, and whereas all citizens of Arizona and visitors should use water more efficiently as practicing a low water use lifestyle in a way that individual and business can help ensure a long-term sufficient water supply, and whereas water education is a cornerstone to any comprehensive water conservation program, and greater awareness of water issues can be gained through community education, action, and celebration, and whereas the City of Bisbee encourages water conservation this month and every month of the year. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Ronald Ertley, Mayor of the City of Bisbee, Arizona, do hereby proclaim the month of April 2016 to be Water Awareness Month in our community, encourage all citizens to pledge to continue to use water wisely this month and every month of the year. In witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand and cause the great seal of the City of Bisbee to be affixed this fifth day of April 2016. Sandra Hurlbut, would you want to come forward? Sandra has a few words to say to us. You want to go over to the podium?
Yeah.
And maybe pull those microphones down just a little bit.
Oh, I have a pretty loud voice.
That works then.
I want to thank the mayor and council for recognizing April as Water Awareness Month. And I think gratitude is the word that we need to use to describe this precious substance called water, because without it, we wouldn't last more than a few days. And, you know, we take it for granted. We go turn on the tap and water magically flows. We don't think much more about it. But we do have people who do think in advance for us, and that is the case with the city of Bisbee. Several things have been happening here in the past few years. The city recognized EPA water sense standards a number of years ago, which are more stringent than the federal standards. Also implemented code enforcement for gray water reuse. And we have a number of rainwater harvesting tanks throughout the city, especially in Old Bisbee, City Park, Grassy Park as well. And, of course, more recently is the Bisbee Effluent and discussions with the county and other interested parties who would like to reuse that. So, once again, I do want to thank the mayor and council members, past, present, and future, for being a good role model for all of us to follow water conservation practices and recognizing, again, that April is Water Awareness Month. Wham! Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandra. Our third proclamation tonight is Recognition Day for National Service. Whereas service to others is a hallmark of the American character and central to how we meet our challenges, and whereas the nation's counties are increasingly turning to national service and volunteerism as a cost-effective strategy to meet county needs, and whereas participation in AmeriCorps and Senior Corps address the most pressing challenges facing our cities and nation, from educating students for jobs of the 21st century and supporting veterans and military families to providing health services and helping communities recover from natural disasters. And whereas national service expands economic opportunity by creating more sustainable, resilient communities and providing education, career skills, and leadership abilities for those who serve. And whereas AmeriCorps and Senior Corps participants serve in more than 60,000 locations across the country, bolstering the civic neighborhood and faith-based organizations that are so vital to our economic and social well-being. And whereas national service participants increase the impact of the organizations they serve, both through their direct service and by managing millions of additional volunteers. And whereas national service represents a unique public-private partnership that invests in community solutions and leverages non-federal resources to strengthen communities' impacts and increases the return of taxpayer dollars. And whereas national service participants demonstrate commitment, dedication, and patriotism by making an intensive commitment to service, a commitment that remains with them in their future endeavors. And whereas the Corporation for National and Community Service shares a priority with county officials nationwide to engage citizens, improve lives, and strengthens communities, and is joining with the National League of Cities, National Association of Counties, Cities of Service, and mayors and county officials across the country for the Mayor and County Recognition Day for the National Service on April the 5th, 2016. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Ronald Ertley, Mayor of the City of Bisbee, do hereby proclaim that Tuesday, April the 5th, 2016, as the National Service Day Recognition Day, and encourage residents to recognize their positive impact on national service in our county and thank those who serve and to find ways to give back to their communities. Thank you. Next, we will go to call to the public. We have a couple of people signed up. Let's start off with, how about Susan Blackford?
Good evening, Susan Blackford, Warren, concerned citizens of Bisbee. I was going to save these remarks until after Mr. Johnson left, but since you are now taking resumes, it is very important for myself and I believe the town to get these remarks out. Many thanks to Councilpersons Connors, Doherty, Klein, and the mayor for looking out for the interests of this town and opened the process for the new city manager to all over this country and not just to this town or city hall like Councilpersons Dunn and Hansen wanted. Ask yourself, folks, why? Let me go over a few facts of Mr. Johnson's inexperience that I believe has cost the city. Yes, all documented facts. On the lost leadership grant of $60,000 that was approved by the council and canceled by Mayor Bedall, the issue is that Mr. Johnson never called them to tell them in 2014 that he was canceling the program. And when they contacted him in 2015 to tell him that they were ready after all his hard work, he never contacted them. And I passed out the documentation to you on that. Just left them hanging. Unprofessional, in my opinion. Second, we lost $230,000 state grant to pay the airport runway, which we really needed. We needed to come up with 10% of the money. From what I understand, Mr. Johnson never proceeded with this grant and never brought this grant to the mayor and council so you could all decide. Why? So we lost that grant. Last fact, but not the least, was the firing of Mr. Climac, who brought in over $10 million in grants for this town in the 6 years he was here. He had the knowledge and experience to finish the Tin Town project and the Silva project, which I understand the city received 2 awards on. He was working on several other grants for items for this city that we have lost because of his firing this December. Is this the type of person to let go for alleged budget cuts? I don't think so. Another action of Mr. Johnson's lack of knowledge and ideas to solve this budget problem. Please, 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 Council, do not put us in that position again. Experience counts. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Susan Blackford. Next we have Laura Smith and Mr. Jim Burke, I believe, as well.
I'm Laura Smith from the Bisbee Farmers Market, and because I stood out in the wind all day Saturday, I can hardly talk. We have a petition for the mayor and council, but our good friend from the market, Jim Burke, is going to read it for you. Thank you.
Mr. Burke, you might want to pull. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Yes, Mayor and City Council, the farmers market's been around for 15 years here, and we've always had special use permits, and we'd like to change that to community service and outreach program. So anyway, this is our petition. We petitioned the mayor and city council of the city of Bisbee because after 15 years of community service, continued development of sustainable food security, and a variety of educational venues, the Bisbee Farmers Market would like to have its status changed from a special event to one that more accurately reflects the services that the market provides. Our action desired, we would like the mayor and council to consider taking the following actions. One, change the status of the Bisbee Farmers Market from a special event to a weekly community service and outreach program. Eliminate any and all past fees. Change payment usage to status to $40 a week to cover the cost incurred by the city for park usage. And then also to co-sponsor the Bisbee Farmers Market for advertising purposes. The city would not be responsible for any expenses, just the name. Basically, when we do advertising things, we would like to be able to add the city of Bisbee's name to it. Anyway, thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Mr. Jim Burke. Next we have, I looked around, I'm not sure if I see this person here, Mr. Doug Stanhope, are you here? He just walked in the door. The grand entrance.
I apologize to the council for my appearance tonight. I don't normally show up in my pajama pants, but I came straight from work. Toastmasters always said open with a comical line. I'm here, Your Honor, to talk to you tonight about Chapter 8, about the homeless lunch here at the Gore Park. Yes, I know. No heckling. The homeless are all over the Gore Park, and I'm a homeowner. I'm a proud homeowner, people. And people are trying to castigate us as some kind of hate mongers. Preaching hate, eradicate the homeless. We're not about that, people. We just know that the Lord in all of his infinite jest and wisdom has made other people different and homeless. We just want us to be separated. Separate but equal. I would even go so far as to propose that the many of Bisbee's finest dining establishments install separate lunch counters for the homeowners. I call us homos for short. The homos and the homeless. You don't want to be sitting there looking at some dirty indigent staring at your housewife sitting next to you at breakfast. Because he ain't got no housewife because he ain't got no house. My point being this. I propose to the council tonight, I go so far as to say that my opinion, and I'm speaking for all homos that I know of, we stick with our own right here at Vista Park and let them mongrels up in Old Bisbee take over the Gore Park and, in the words of Marie Osmond, let them eat lunch. I'm out! Castle Rock, candy for mayor! Castle Rock, candy for mayor!
Thank you, Mr. Doug Stanhope. I believe that concludes call to the public. I hope.
We'll go to item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $483,981.34.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $483,981.34. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda, items A through F, and I will read those. A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of Mayor and Council held on March the 15th, 2016 at 7 p.m. B, approval of the appointment of Brett Weller to the Appeals Board for the Property Maintenance Code. C, approval of the appointment of Alan Hosey to the Appeals Board for the Property Maintenance Code. D, approval of the appointment of John Crow to the Appeals Board for the Property Maintenance Code. E, approval of the appointment of Tazlina Sheikh to the Youth Council. And F, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by Bisbee Radio Project Incorporated, KBRP, for an event to be held at the Bisbee Royale on Saturday, April the 23rd, 2016, from 5 p.m. till 11:59 p.m. Ryan Bruce, applicant. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda, items A through F.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda, items A through F. Ms. Coronado, would
you take... I have a discussion on that, actually.
Sorry, which one?
Item D.
Item D. We will pull item D off of that for the moment. Would you want to withdraw your motion? We'll do another motion.
Okay. I move that we approve the consent agenda, items A, B, C, E, and F.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda, items A through C and E and F. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hampton?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Eartley?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Councilmember Sullivan.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to briefly touch on the fact that Mr. Crow also serves on the Design and Review Board, which, to my understanding, the Appeals Board would be governing over the maintenance code that is then first approved by the Design and Review. So I thought that it was probably a conflict of interest.
Okay. Well, I talked to the city attorney before the meeting started, and we thought I would not have to refer to him. But we changed our minds,
that's
I guess,
all right.
Didn't we?
That's what I'm here for.
Mr. Hansen, the city attorney.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. The connection between the Design Review Board and the International Property Maintenance Code is what?
Well, if somebody is not in compliance with the International Maintenance Code, then it would go through our City of Bisbee Design and Review Board, wouldn't it?
No, it would not. The Design Review Board has a special mission for properties at Old Bisbee on design of structures, whereas the International Property Maintenance Code is mostly about, you know, the yards that are, or the homes that are falling apart, that kind of thing. They have separate missions. There should be no reason that the Design Review Board would ever consider a code violation. So, no, they would be separate.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question.
Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve consent agenda item D.
We have a motion and a second to approve consent agenda item D. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hanson?
Aye.
Councilmember Doughty?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Plank?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Without objection from the council, as per the city manager, we're going to move item number 12 up to the top of new business. So item number 12 was a discussion and possible direction from mayor and council. Item number 12, discussion and possible approval for the city of Bisbee to join the Cochise Conservation Recharge Network, CCRN. Mr. Justin Johnson, city manager of Bisbee.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. And as we kind of walk through the MOU that you have attached, also Cato Daly's here to, and she may have a few words as it relates to this particular agenda item. I had an opportunity to participate in two meetings at the invite of Commissioner Call, as well as the city manager of the city of Sierra Vista, Chuck Petusik, to sit in on some of the conversations of the Cochise Conservation Recharge Network. One of the things that this MOU provides is an opportunity for the city of Bisbee to participate in the conversations and discussion that happen as relates to the Sierra Vista subwatershed. So this MOU just simply formalizes, it doesn't commit us to any particular projects or anything along those lines. I want to just make that very, very clear. And as you know, a couple of weeks ago we had Commissioner Call, County Supervisor Call, he came and presented. And so one of the things, if we were already a member of this particular group, we would have had an opportunity to know more about the project before it came before us, and we would have had an opportunity to have more intimate discussion about joining the Recharge Network. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Cato, who may have a few words. She had an opportunity to speak with Holly Richter with the Nature Conservancy, who is also a member. And so you may have a few words that you may want to share.
Yeah, she signed up. So.
Sorry.
Yeah. Cato Daly.
Thank you. I'm Cato Daly, Ward 1. I've been involved with the water world for the past 20 years or so, and so I am familiar with what Justin is, City Manager Johnson is talking about. And yes, I did talk to Holly Richter today, and Holly Richter's with the Nature Conservancy, and she was sorry that she couldn't make it here tonight. But basically, I just would like to reiterate what City Manager Johnson said, is that this agreement would be it's an invitation for the city to be part of this conversation. And I do support the council on entering into this organization. The city of Bisbee is part of the Sierra Vista subwatershed, along with Sierra Vista and Huachuca City and Tombstone and Naco. And we do have an interest in how our water resources are managed. Network that they're talking about of these recharge basins would serve not only to help protect our riparian system, which is very important, our San Pedro River, but it also helps to address some of our groundwater issues also. And as City Manager Johnson was saying, it doesn't commit the city to use its effluent, because that is what is being discussed as far as Bisbee's concerned involvement. And it gives Bisbee an opportunity to talk about that. So I do support the council in making the decision to be a part of this network. Thank you.
Thank you, Cato Daly. We do have one other person signed up on this, Jed Witkowski. Are you here somewhere? There he is.
Good evening. So, frankly, I think it'd be an excellent idea to get involved with this. Again, like Mrs. Daly pointed out that we are on their watershed. We do share resources, and I think just looking at it, with, you know, we look at the website, you can just tell that we are on their watershed. I've had to get up early, work this morning, inject myself with a bunch of caffeine. So anyway, the old saying, power numbers. I believe by joining this union and by making it official, we have more power there. We can say to whatever entities may come our way, friend or foe, or to be determined, hey, look at Sierra Vista, Bisbee, et cetera, say this is what's going to happen, this is the way we want to pursue it. You can work with us, you can work against us, but we're sticking together. And as far as number 13, that's right, that's back up here, excuse me, going up to 11, I think it's a potentially good idea. I think it's something we definitely talk to people such as Mr. Acosta and some others about the quality of the water. I mean, that's coming to minds. I mean, I've heard people like Miss Lucci and others tell me that, you know, they played in the water and, well, they're all still here. And so I think, you know, that'd be a great idea to make this place green again. Because I know one thing I learned about working or volunteering, rather, at the Mining Museum when I was in high school is that we had the most beautiful gardens in the world because that water was piped. And you still seem to see old pipes down here by the ballpark. That was all mine water. It wasn't really cleared for drinking, but it was used for water gardens. All the minerals in the water made some beautiful rose bushes, cottonwoods, and all of that. So I think overall it should be definitely considered. And I know that the EPA regs have become a little more stringent since the and only they can pollute the environment now. But since the 30s and 40s and so on, so definitely guess that's what we should and absolutely must look into and fast track. Frankly, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jed Witkowski. Any comments or questions from the council? I have a motion.
I move that we enter into a memorandum of understanding, City of Bisbee, to join the Cochise Conservation Recharge Network.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other thoughts? No other thoughts. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Now we will go to item number 3, presentation on the Old Bisbee Parking Study, Justin Johnson, City Manager, and Torrin Shadow, Public Works Intern.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, members of the council. One of the things, and after Torrin's presentation, I'll have just a few words, but Torrin, he's going to come up and actually introduce himself. He's been on board with us since the very first part of January, and very excited about the work that he has completed since he's been here. He's very excited about this particular project and others that he's had a chance to work on. He's worked very closely with Mr. Heratic, our Public Works Director, on this particular project and others. But so I certainly want to turn it over to Mr. Sadow for him to lay it up and get going.
Thanks, Justin, and thank you, Mayor and Council. Everybody, I'm Torrin Sadow. I'm the Public Works Intern. We are proposing a shifted parking structure in Old Bisbee to fit the need presented by the current business structure that has formed over time. Now, the focus of Old Bisbee has shifted over time from one being first home to all Bisbee residents' commercial needs to now being home to all of our travel economy. And it's fully equipped with lodging, galleries, eating, drinking, anything that a travel town would need. As the focus has changed over time, so should the parking structure in order to accommodate the businesses that call the district home. The Bisbee traveler economy, it's shaped around drawing visitors and patrons to our lodges, our restaurants, and our galleries, and to having them stay in the Old Bisbee district to allow them to shop and to contribute to our economy. Now, the new parking structure will accommodate that need by allowing visitors to the historic Old Bisbee to stay for 24-hour periods. So the public parking within that district will be changed from its current diverse parking structure to a 24-hour across-the-board structure, which will simply allow people to stay and spend time in the downtown area. Furthermore, the shifted parking structure will allow people to stay safe in terms of those who drink, and the 24-hour period will allow people to park their vehicles overnight, and visitors to this town should not have to feel afraid of being ticketed or having their vehicles towed, but should instead feel free to drink or to do whatever they feel is necessary in the Old Bisbee in order to contribute to the economy. Now, in order to make the shift in the parking structure, what we would propose to do is put one sign on either entrance to Old Bisbee, on the east side and on the west side. So on the west, we have the Tombstone Canyon entrance. On the east, the Naco Road entrance. And each sign will read, all parking in Old Bisbee is 24 hours unless otherwise marked. There will be several lots which will be otherwise marked. First, outside the post office, will remain 15 minutes. Also, several lots throughout the city will remain the 48 hours or will be turned into 48-hour parking to accommodate the residents and the hotels that call those areas home. Also, as part of the study, 11 lots were located and were marked for possible acquisition by the city in order to bolster our number of parking spots available, which is currently 508 public parking spots which are available in Old Bisbee. The 11 lots that could potentially be acquired, and this is not necessarily a part of the plan. This is simply something that was researched as part of the research that we did to denote all the spots, the public parking spots in Old Bisbee. But these lots would add add potentially 95 extra spots to the 508 spots that we currently have available to the public in Old Bisbee. Show you here. These lots that are available for acquisition are denoted by green. This is not one of the lots, by the way. The lots are numbered 1 through 11, starting over here in Tombstone Canyon, just across the street from the slow sign on the rock wall. And they go up the canyon, starting, as I said, in Tombstone Canyon. They move over to Brewery Gulch. We have one on Tempe Ave, one on Opera Drive, and they move all the way up to the Muleheim House. And the study focused on the Muleheim House to the Iron Man near the courthouse. Now, each lot has a specific number of spots available, of course, and some of the lots have significantly more and would be much more useful to acquire if that is to be the case. But, thank you.
And Mayor,
Mr. Johnson, City Manager.
Sure. And Andy, are you ready? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just want to, you know, when this project, Mr. Radick had actually talked about wanting to investigate the parking situation in Old Bisbee for quite some time, and he coordinated an interface with the police department on a number of occasions. And so when this project actually got off the ground, they actually spent a significant amount of time speaking with the PD as it, from an enforcement standpoint. He interfaced with a number of business owners in the area, as well as myself and Mr. Heratic, about some of the things that have been happening in that particular corridor. Again, this is just for presentation purposes only, to really get a conversation started, if Mayor and Council, if you also choose to really want to explore this further. So a lot of legwork and a lot of investigation has happened since getting started. And so, and lastly, I want to say, before Annie gets up and I forget, I want to recognize Torin. He has recently been accepted into the Marvin Andrews Fellowship Program at Arizona State University. He's an undergraduate right now, so he's transitioning on to the graduate program. It's one of the most prestigious programs in the country as it relates to public administration. It speaks volumes for the city of Bisbee to have a Marvin Andrews Fellows coming out of the city. And I think ASU's program is probably ranked number 3 or 4 in the country for public administration. And I want to recognize the hard work that he's put forth. And how he got here, he sought me out. And he was very proactive and aggressive in what it is he wanted to do. And he sought out Councilwoman Sullivan at a conference. I don't even know how they connected. But I just wanted to publicly acknowledge and recognize his hard work and dedication to the city of Bisbee.
And from the council, let me say thank you very much, Torin. We appreciate that very, very much. I talked to him about an hour before the meeting, and he likes Bisbee a lot.
And you know, it's a full ride scholarship is what he received. So it's bigger than just being accepted to a school. he got accepted, and they're picking up the bill for him. So
they have a lot of
confidence in him, too. Wow. Thank you. I do want to also just add that I've showed this bits of this plan to members of the Streets and Infrastructure Committee. They're very enthusiastic about the plan. Really, one of the main reasons we did the study is something that we had looked at years ago, but we're never able to finish. It just didn't fit into the our scope of what we could do daily. So Torm actually. This is a part one of a two-part study because the pedestrian study will be presented to you next. That's a very important part of the study. We've also, Torrin went to ADA training in Phoenix with Matt and Raul from our streets department. Matt and Raul in our streets department are now the only two men in Cochise County who are grade 3 certified in ADA. Two men in all of the county. Have been to all three of ADOT's classes for ADA. Torrin went to the class. He's also going to be presenting to you at a later date, shortly here, the pedestrian study. And what he didn't realize when he went is that we had been working on it for a couple of years, and he said he was at the class, and he realized about 20 minutes into it that, wait a minute, we've already done this. Wait a minute, we've already done that. Yes. We're not quite there. He's going to help us get finished. But I do want you to know that we showed this to the Streets and Infrastructure Committee. They were really grateful that we were actually thinking about it, that we were actually taking the time to think about the parking problem and the situation in Old Bisbee. So, do you have any questions for us?
Yeah. Councilmember Sullivan.
Oh, yeah. So the main change you're saying is that the parking lot behind the convention center would be going from two-hour parking to 24-hour?
Well, when you look at the... Do you want to answer?
Yes, actually, yeah. I'll answer.
Because that's the only one I see that's in blue.
So, the thing is, these were printed out so that we could present them to the various people that we've presented them to up until now. So there have actually been several changes since the original maps were made. Namely, the fact that many of the lots that would be 24 hours, and thank you for pointing that out, many of the lots that will be 24 hours are currently marked as 48 hours. We have changed our thinking on that. As it is much easier to enforce the 24 hours in most locations. The major lots that would stay 48 hours would be the largest lots in town. Otherwise, nearly everything else that you see on here would actually be the 24-hour mark.
I think maybe some of the biggest changes would be going from 15 minutes to 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be our absolute biggest changes. But like as Tori pointed out, our economy base has changed in New Bisbee. We're now more of an entertainment lodging. That's our economy base. We're not selling shoes and eyeglasses and things anymore. So the need for 15-minute drop-off parking just doesn't seem necessary. And the other thing is that we talked to the police department about this. It's okay. You can have a city with 15 or 10 different parking times and zones, but then there's enforcement. There's an enforcement issue. So it's nothing that we need to enforce because we're not looking at 15 minutes parking anymore. 24 hours is more than reasonable. And we talked to the police. They prefer 24 hour because of the process for ticketing. As Torrin did point out, some of the parking lots that you're looking at here up in on Opera Drive, those are large inner city neighborhood parking lots. Those can be for 48 hours. They're marked that way. Some of them are marked. Most of them are not. But what this really does is it cleans up the parking. We also, I did count today, we're going to be taking down 43 signposts between the Iron Man and the Muleheim House. These are signposts that have everything in the world on 15-minute parking, 30-minute parking. We're going to eliminate all those posts and change our view of Main Street because we're eliminating all these beat-up signs that just sort of... There was a point to them when they were done, and they made sense in the day. But in this day, it just doesn't make sense for us to buy it.
At this point, they're just unnecessary clutter.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Nope. Torrin, Andy, and Justin, I want to thank you for all of your efforts, and especially Andy and Mr. Johnson for having Torrin come down here. Item number four, discussion of possible approval of the notice of intent to adopt ordinance O-16-01, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property located east of 536C Warren Hill Street. Mr. Johnson, city manager. Referral to Mr. Hansen, city attorney.
I think he's handing it off to me. Mayor and council, if this looks familiar to you, it should be. The council approved the sale of this back in 2015. In the process of figuring out the deeds, Mr. Ward discovered that there might be a discrepancy in the legal description, and I think he got a survey done so we could get it right when we did the deed, and it affected both this property and the property that will be considered the next agenda item. So anyway, we're finally getting around to following the old process because, believe it or not, these properties were, the process was started back before the council adopted the new process that I drafted this past summer. So anyway, we have to go through the notice of intent and the ordinance process. But this is something the council has seen and approved. We just have to complete the paperwork according to the city code.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move approval of intent of notice of intent to approve ordinance 01601, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property located east of 536C Warren Hill to Michael McFarland in the amount of $2,052.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number five, discussion of possible approval of the notice of intent to adopt ordinance O-16-02, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property located east of 536C Warren Hill Street. Once again, Mr. Hansen, city attorney.
Mayor, there's a typographical error here that we need to correct. It's 534B, I believe, rather than 536. We just approved 536.
Oh. Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Is that all we need to do?
That's all you need to do. Yeah, the resolution, I think, and the cap has the right parcel number. Right? Anyway, I'll say ditto from the previous agenda item.
Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the notice of intent to adopt ordinance 01602, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property located east of 534B, Warren Hill.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? No other comments. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number six, discussion of possible approval for the purchase of a cardiac monitor for the Physio Control Incorporated in the amount of $35,013.45. Mr. Mark Bernalite, Fire Chief, City of Bisbee.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Today, we have a very good opportunity to purchase a very needed piece of equipment for our fire department. And what we'd like to do tonight is make a little presentation and introduce you to a couple of my firefighters so we can kind of show you instead of tell you what we're looking to get and what it actually does for our community. So I could get Firefighter Walter Webb to please bring up our AED. We're going to first show you the main arm of Advanced Life Support, which our paramedics give our community, is advanced cardiac life support. And the very beginning of it, of cardiac life support, which can be found in a lot of stores, it can be shown and used by EMTs as well as paramedics. And this is an AED. And an AED reads two lethal cardiac rhythms. It reads ventricular tachycardia without a pulse and ventricular fibrillation. And it's easy to put on, it's easy to use, and we train the public on the use of this AED along with our CPR classes, and we put those on twice a month at the fire department. And it's been proven and shown that quick electrical therapy in a cardiac arrest is the key to life support. And we wanted to show you this so that we can show you the difference between an AED that a lay person or an untrained person can use versus the cardiac monitor that is the main equipment of the paramedic. Thank you, Walter. And if I can get firefighter Steve Slotman to bring up an LP-10. When we first, this piece of equipment that Steve's going to bring up, the fire department has had for 18 years. This was the state of the art, the standard of care, and it's quite heavy. It is quite large. It takes three batteries to operate. It's got a very small screen, and Steve, if you could turn it on, the screen should light up the green little dial in the front. So this has a small screen. It has also a small paper readout, and it's only showing one lead.
There they go.
Never fell. This particular cardiac monitor, as you can see, has paddles. So you had to physically pull the paddles out and apply them to the patient's chest and deliver your shock. This is a monophasic device, which means when you give the electricity, it's only going one way. Also in there, there's an adjustment to the pads that you can slip on, which makes the surface a little smaller, and that was to use on pediatric patients. This piece of equipment does not do a 12 lead, it only does a 3 lead. This was the standard of care. This piece of equipment is still in service. This piece of equipment is the minimum of standard of care, but we can still use it today. The therapy and diagnostic equipment on the cardiac monitor on this particular model is mixed, and we'll show you what that means on the next model. thank you, Steve. Also, while we're waiting, the electricity that's used in cardiac therapy is called joules, and the biphasic monitor has to use more joules than the monophasic has to use more joules than a biphasic monitor. And the difference, again, the monophasic electricity just goes one way, the biphasic, it's going two ways. And so you can use less power and get better results. So I can get firefighter Nick Hauser to bring up the LP-12. Our LP-12 was then the next advancement over the LP-10. It was quite a jump. And we've had these since 2001. And when we got these units, they were pre-owned and refurbished. So we did not get these units new. As you can see, we have a larger screen. The paper printout is a lot bigger. This has two sides to it. There's going to be a diagnostic side, which is facing you, would be on your right side, and the therapy side is on the left. And what that does is it allows us to do a 3-lead or a 12-lead and diagnose the cardiac rhythm. And then if we're going to, what therapy a cardiac monitor gives is a cardiac monitor can defibrillate just as the AED, which is the top shock therapy for a person who is unresponsive and having a heart attack. Basically, they're pulseless. But we can also have two other modes of therapy. One is pacing, a slow rhythm. So if someone is unstable and symptomatic, we can pace a heart rate, say, in the 20 to 30 range, back up to a sustainable and perfusing rhythm of 60, 70, or 80. The opposite, if a heart rate is going too fast, say over 150 to 300, we can synchronize cardiovert that patient down to a stable pace, to a stable heart rate. So those are the three therapy modes that we give. This unit, the last unit ran on three batteries, so we have a bigger, stronger unit running on two batteries. And again, this unit has lasted since 2001. We have three of them. We did lose one when the ambulance wrecked, but mainly the case broke. The insides are still working. We just can't take it on calls. And finally, if I could have firefighter Nick Rivera, our newest paramedic, bring up the LP-15. This LP-15 we got brand new in 2010, and it was financed when we purchased our new ambulance It was part of the equipment that we put on it. And this is the unit that we would be purchasing with the grant money today. And as we've explained about the standard of care, this is the latest standard of care. And it is more durable. It has the same equipment as the LP12. It has the therapy side as well as the diagnostic side. However, it has one. This one also does automatic blood pressures, and it reads pulse oximetry, which tells us how much oxygen is in your peripheral blood. And it does one other thing that is the new standard of care that we all have to work up to, and it measures end-tidal CO2. What that means is if we intubate somebody, we know it's one more verification that our tube is in the correct placement, and we can take over the person's breathing and secure their airway. It also helps with respiratory distress patients. We can see how much CO2 they're giving off, and we can provide the proper therapy from there. The old ones had the paddles. These run off the pads. They're hand-free. And this connection here goes into all the cardiac monitors. It goes into the AED. And when we take the patient into the hospital, it goes right into the hospital's equipment. And we don't interrupt any of our treatment with the patient. Thank you, Nate. So we just wanted to show you what type of equipment and what we would be asking for. We are very privileged to have been awarded a grant for this money through the Buffett Foundation. We have to give a great thanks to Mr. Temby, who initiated the process, and to Mr. Dave Smith, who did the legwork and came to the city and got all the paperwork going. And with that presentation, we ask that you approve the funding for this monitor.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? Council Member Hansen.
I, too, would like to publicly thank Mr. Smith and Mr. Temby for their assistance in getting this grant. And I also had a question. You just have one of the newest ones, is that correct?
Yes.
And how many of the really, really old ones do you have?
We just have one of the, that's the only one we have with paddles, the really old one. We have three of the refurbished, but one is not operable at this time. So this would make a fourth one, and when we get the new ambulance, it will finish it off beautifully.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the purchase of a cardiac monitor from Physio Control in the amount of $35,013.45.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the purchase of a cardiac monitor from Physio Control in the amount of $35,013.45. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 7, discussion of possible approval of a service agreement with NTEC for the servicing of the Bisbee Fire Department defibrillator, AEDs, and pulse ox. Once again, Mark Bernalite, City of Bisbee Fire Chief.
Yes, again, Mayor and Council. The reason we are able to have the equipment so long and the reason that it has lasted so long is because we do have a maintenance agreement with this company. And they come twice a year. They service and calibrate all the equipment. They make sure nothing's wrong with it. Also, if anything does go wrong in the interim of that time, they come right out and service it. And it's actually it reduces our liability, and it's a great secondary insurance policy that our equipment is working. And again, this is the main arm of our cardiac life support, and we would appreciate if you'd approve this contract.
Any questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the service agreement with NTEC for the servicing of the Bisbee Fire Department's defibrillators, AEDs, and Pulse OX.
Second. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? No other comments. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Archie Bernalite, thank you very much.
Thank
appreciate
you very
that.
Much,
item number 8. Discussion and possible approval to extend a public right-of-way use permit for lunches at Gore Park for Dan Maldonado for 1 year effective April 5th, 2016 to April 5th, 2017. Mr. Andy Heretic, Interim Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Before you is a parks permit, to, as the Mayor said, to extend the lunches at Gore Park. I just think I maybe should give you a little history on this. Dan is, I believe, is the third person to take up free lunches at the park. I believe Tony Bedoya started it, and then we have a couple here tonight who helped continue it, and now Dan is picking up the gauntlet for this. I think one of the things on this permit, it says for the homeless. I've attended these, I've watched these lunches many, many times. We have as many poor people or more. Poor people. People who can't afford food, who are food challenged, who are at this. We have as many of those people at this lunch as we do homeless people. The lunches have been going on at Gore Park for about 5 years. At one point, the numbers were getting to about 35 or 40. I approached Mr. Maldonado and asked him if he wouldn't consider doing a permit. When you have a parks permit, what it really does is it guarantees you a space so that if someone else wants to use the park, they decide to have a party, well, you have a permit, so you have first you have first call at that space. That's what the park permit really gives you. It guarantees you a space. There's some conversation about the location of it. The reason Gore Park is a good location, in my opinion, is because there's no playground equipment at Gore Park. There is a men and women's bathroom, which can properly service 30 to 45 people, and it doesn't interfere with the play or normal activities at a park. Gore Park is a park. It's a small inner city green park. It has picnic tables. It's really meant to sit and eat and relax in. That's what the intent of Gore Park was, I believe, in its design. So I'm here today to ask you to extend this permit for one more year for the noble cause that Dan does. And by the way, I believe Dan pays for the food out of his own pocket. I don't believe there's any funding source for this. This is from the kindness of his heart. So anyway, I have this permit before you, and I request that you consider approving this for another year at Gore Park. Thank you.
Any questions from the council?
I have a comment.
Councilmember Dowdy.
I have been in Old Bisbee when they are serving lunches up there. There is a big crowd eating lunches. And I would like to make a motion on that.
Okay. Councilmember Connors.
Is anybody signed up to speak to this?
We have a lot of people signed up.
We better do that right now. But we could do it after a motion in a second, but we'll do it right now. Thanks for
reminding me. We do have a lot of people signed up for this. Mr. Maldonado, would you like to go first to do the grand finale? Okay. Mr. Dan Maldonado.
Council and Mayor, thank you for having me. And I just wanted to give you a brief rundown about Gore Park Lunches and what we do. I was born and raised in Bisbee, Arizona, graduated from Bisbee High School in 1984, moved away, and I've been back for the last couple of years. And when I came back, I noticed that Steve and Judy were serving lunch at the park, and I was wondering what was happening on the other days, because I noticed they had quite a few people show up for lunch. And then that's when I decided that we would be able to take on another day and start feeding people, and it's kind of grown from there. But we've gotten to the point now where we serve about 600 meals a month for free. We have about 16 volunteers per month who donate over 200 hours of volunteer time. We usually serve about 50 people, and we have our volunteer line set up so it's very efficient. So we serve about 50 people in about a half an hour to 45 minutes. We're cleaned up and we're out of there. We try to leave the park cleaner than when we got there. We've engendered good relationships with our nearby neighbors. We consider Patricia Stewart and Rob Kravitz from the Olive Oil Company to be a couple of our supporters. And we also, we've received donations of food, and we have a regular relationship with the Quarry, the Stock Exchange, Poco, Jimmy's, Tavolo Pizza, Bisbee Olive Oil Company, and Roca brings us a meal a month. So it's a community thing. Half of it is feeding people, and the other half of the project is teaching people how to think about each other as neighbors, how to resource what we have, and how to feed each other and think about things that are not just like the government is taking care of it. We can take care of each other as neighbors. And it's, I think it's been a feather in the cap of Bisbee and, you know, a good thing for our community. So thank you for considering this.
Let me just say this, Mr. Maldonado, the community of Bisbee and the volunteers that help you out, we are very, very proud of you.
I would like to say he does leave the park cleaner than he finds it. I'm tempted to issue rakes so that you can repeat the rake marks that we made for you.
Let's go to Kelly Galligan.
Thank you. I'm Kelly Galligan. Dana House, who owns the quarry at 40 Brewery Avenue, had a statement. She couldn't be here tonight. So I'm going to first read her statement, which is, the Gore Park lunches are an excellent showing of a beautiful community taking care of one another and benefiting not only the homeless, but also providing nutritious meals to the elderly, the mentally ill, citizens, business owners, and tourists alike. Dan has worked very hard with no external funding and with the support of multitudes of local business owners to provide this service to hundreds of people in a loving, peaceful environment that is Gore Park, usually with the addition of local musicians. Parks are places for all people and should be treated as such. As a business owner close to the park and a contributor to the lunches, I believe they should remain at Gore Park and also that the permit be renewed and are no bother whatsoever to business or tourist traffic in the area. Thank you. And I just want to second Dana's statement and say that I think parks are for everyone's use and enjoyment, and I can't imagine a better use for our public parks than to feed hungry people. The Gore Park Lunch Program is a great asset to our entire community, and as a downtown business owner and a resident, I'm proud to support the initiative, and I just want to urge the council to renew the park, the permit at its current location. Thank you.
Thank you. Kelly Galligan. Let's go to Mr. David Potts.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. You hear me okay? Okay. My wife and I, we have two toddlers. We just moved here. We're probably some of your newest residents to Bisbee. And we work here, and we've just recently acquired a house up the gulch that we love. I brought my family here because of people like Dan Maldonado. He's a great example of the people in the community of Bisbee. These are the people I want to raise my kids around. This is the ethic that I want my family to live with and my kids to grow up with, to serve one another. I've traveled all over the world. I've only ever found this in Bisbee. I love this community, and I want my kids to stay here, grow here, maybe be on the council. If it weren't for the lunches at Gore Park, when we first got here, we had things lined up, we thought, for the most part. After a grueling trip here from Bonner's Ferry, Idaho, we got here kind of empty-handed. Things fell through. We didn't know what we were going to do. We came here in a Buick Century, and we knew we had enough to get into an apartment, but then there's waiting for that and all that, and we've got two toddlers, and we hit a point where we didn't know how we're going to feed them, where we're going to stay, and Dan Maldonado, as well as a couple other people, got together, and Steve and Judy welcomed us, me and my family, into their home until we found our new place. If it wasn't for the Gore Park lunches, I probably would have cried a few times, worried about what are we going to do, how are my kids going to eat. I think it's amazing that it's there, and I ask that you extend the permit, possibly help another family just like it helped mine. Thank you, guys.
David Potts, thank you for your comments. Let's go to Christina Plasencia.
Honorable council members and mayor. Christina Plasencia, 55 Main Street, Old Bisbee. I am here not to speak in opposition, but in praise of the efforts of this community coming together and providing this wonderful service that is generously offered with the support of business owners and residents alike. Without repeating what has been said already, I commend you all. This is the uniqueness of Bisbee. And whether it's a comic, satirical presentation or a heartfelt admiration for what we are as a community, I'd like to offer a reflection of the background I have in 18 years of community behavioral health services, and just want to say how very much I appreciate what is being done for those who, for whatever reason, end up either homeless or in poverty, living in the shadows of poverty and socioeconomic conditions, psychosocial conditions, mental health and substance dependence issues, whatever it may be. The dignity of each individual continues to be something that we as neighbors and citizens of a sustainable planet have to offer each other: kindness, consideration, and dignity. In light of that, I simply would like to encourage a long-term plan for what is currently being offered at the park, not to hide people away from the view of others, but to provide them with a safe, private environment that they can receive these benefits without the stigma of public view, should that be an issue for them. Something to consider. It's something that we considered and provided in a community behavioral health setting. It wasn't a park, but it was one of the benefits that that setting provided, was the lack of stigma that might be associated with being served a meal, given that hand up, not hand out, in a public setting, open to the view of everyone. That is all I'd care to share with you. Again, I'm proud of the community that offers this fine service to our less fortunate citizens, be they you, be they me. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina Plasencia. Next, let's go to Marcy Potts.
I think she took my kids to the park. They would get
loud. Okay. Then we'll go to Karen Shoemaker.
My name is Karen Schumacher. I live at 18 Clausen in Old Bisbee. I don't want to be redundant. I had a statement that I wrote, but due to the incredible amount of support, how many people are here in support of Grower Punk Lunches today? I don't feel the need to say my part. I just am here to urge the council to please renew the permit for Grower Punk Lunches. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Karen Schumacher. I think that concludes our item number 8. Oh, come on up. I don't see your name here, though. My apologies. It is here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bill Higgins, I live in the Gulch. I just think Gore Park lunches is one of the most wonderful things I've seen happen in a long time. This is something somebody does from their heart. They get nothing for it. They work very hard. The food is delicious. I get in line there occasionally myself, and I can speak personally. I live in the Gulch. This Gore Park at the entrance to the Gulch, it does my heart good when I go by there and see people being fed in Gore Park. It speaks well of the town. It shows that we have compassion for people that are less fortunate, and it also shows that we're without looking to the government, without looking to the city, somebody's doing something on their own and providing this service. And I just love Dan Maldonado, and I love Gore Park lunches, and Gore Park is the place for Gore Park lunches. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bill Higgins. Councilmember Sullivan.
I just want to add one other thing, although I feel like it's almost all been said. Today I was running around. I had like 5 meetings to do, and I don't have any food in my fridge. And so what did I do for lunch? I went down to Gore Park, and there is always enough, and it's always nutritious. It's a balanced meal. They don't just serve macaroni and cheese. It's a home-cooked meal every single time. And we've got different restaurants in the community cooking, like they mentioned. But for the most part, I believe that Mr. Maldonado does the cooking himself as well as purchasing the food. And it's just an outrageous amount of work that he does out of the kindness of his heart. And I want to applaud him one more time because it's an amazing effort that you do. Thank you so much.
Any other comments from the council? Councilmember Commerce.
Thank you, Mayor. I too want to just say that I want to absolutely stand behind and support the extension of the public right-of-way, the permit for the use of Gore Park. However, I think that the people that put this together, since we're not, all we do is permit a right-of-way. So I think, and I'd be happy to, in the 8 months that I'm still in office, be part of that discussion of, and invite the people that are eating these lunches as well, not just merchants, not just the people that facilitate this, but the people that enjoy it as well. I can absolutely sit through however meetings it takes to get that clear if there is a problem at all. I don't really see one. But the permitting, it is a pretty wonderful thing. I've been able to volunteer a few times to pack bags and do a few things, but it is pretty wonderful. And it is a pretty neat town here, isn't it? Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
Any other comments from the council?
Do we have a motion?
I move to approve and extend the public right-of-way, the use of permit for lunches at Gore Park. And if Shirley Dowdy wants to finish reading that, she could if she wants to.
Go ahead, Gene.
I'll defer to Shirley. Go ahead, Shirley.
Go ahead. You started to go ahead.
For lunches at Gore Park for Dan Maldonado for 1 year, effective April 5th, 2016, April 5th, 2017.
I second it.
There we go.
We have a motion and a second. Any other thoughts from the council? No other thoughts. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 9, discussion of possible approval to enter into a through-the-fence agreement with private users of the Bisbee Municipal Airport. Andy Heretic, Interim Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This has been an epic endeavor by the city. It's been about 5 years that we've been working on a through-the-fence agreement. We've been through 2 city managers, 2 public works directors. It's just gone on and on with this through-the-fence agreement. We are finally at a point where we have an agreement that we are prepared and ready to send to the property owners. So we're asking that you to approve this contract before I take it to the airport committee. And then that meeting is on Monday, and from that meeting I will send out a letter giving the homeowners a minimum of 10 days. I told the city attorney I was going to give him 2 days to get it signed, but he told me to give him a minimum of 10 days to get this signed so we can get through this. One of the reasons we're doing this contract is that there's been a lot of talk on our funding at the airport. One of the things that's snagging up or challenging our funding is this agreement. We are one of three airports in the United States that the FAA funds that has that allows residents, private residences, to use their airport. So this has been a real challenge for us. So getting through this step helps ensure our funding with FAA for future projects at the airport. And quite frankly, I was flat out told that our funding was in jeopardy because we've taken so long for this agreement. So,
any questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve entering into a through-the-fence agreement with private users of the Bisbee Municipal Airport.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve entering into a through-the-fence agreement with private users of the Bisbee Municipal Airport. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 10, discussion and possible approval, enter into a contract with Engineering and Environmental Consultants Incorporated, EEC, to complete a Tintown drainage study and determine alternative solutions to erosion and flooding using green design methods where possible. Once again, Andy Heratic, Interim Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. You have already approved the initial part of this agreement. EEC is an engineering firm that really specializes in environmental engineering in Tucson. After Mr. Klimek left, I put Lorena Valdez, the city finance firm, and myself, we got in a car and went up and spent about 3 hours with EEC. EEC was impressed enough with us that they actually, which you've approved, went to the USDA. They applied for the grant on their dime to do this study. The money's now been approved, which you have previously approved. Now this is for the contract to actually spend the money that they applied for to work with us here in Bisbee on the Tintown drainage study.
Thank you. We do have one person signed up for this item, Mr. Jed Witkowski.
There are some things when I kind of looked into it briefly. Like I said, I've just been really busy with my job and stuff. You know, I can tell from experience, I personally helped shore up and prevent, well, really mitigate the water from flooding out the Tintown shelter about two, maybe three summers ago. And that was an adventure, to say the least. You know, we just, how quickly, you just like, oh, a little puddle, and now we're out there, you know, getting our feet soaked up. And I wasn't even limited. I was simply just a volunteer, went from washing dishes to go helping sandbag things up. And this would be an absolutely wonderful thing. Now, I've tried to find what green design means. I couldn't really get 100% beat on it. However, from the pictures seem a bit more helpful to me when I did an image search. You're using building rubble. We got plenty of that around here. You know, when they tear up an old septic system or whatever, you get all that large chunks of concrete, rocks, dirt, a lot of earthen systems, and there's, I'm not going to say there's no impact. There is impact, but it's not as severe from what I've seen, and I'm no engineer, as when you're putting these environmentally and physically expensive aqueducts and all that good stuff in. So again, I believe that'd be a great idea to just go forward with this. Look at these green design methods and make sure that they're going to be up to par and able to compete and exceed the standards set for by more intrusive traditional methods. Thank you.
Thank you. I guess I just have one question basically for public consumption. The flooding out there sometimes gets rather intense and goes in their houses sometimes.
Often.
Yeah.
We have one gentleman in particular whose house was built just on the dirt, That's kind of the nature of Tintown. I mean, when you consider they've been here with us, with the city for 80 years, and they're just now, almost 100 years, they're just now getting sewers. Yeah. They've been dealing with these adverse conditions for a long time and actually lived in them so long that they have accepted them. But the green standard on this, I want you to know, will be there is so much water that runs through Tintown. We want to capture about 150,000 gallons of that and put it into a community garden in Tintown. There's a lot of land that we've asked to report for, which they've agreed to give us. So the green element of this is that we capture the water that we can, and then we provide in the grant a garden space for a walled community garden, which will be named in honor of Tintown. But that's the green part of this grant.
Just one other comment. I'm very pleased that the municipal government of Bisbee has, over the last some years, paid a lot of attention to Tintown, and it was a long time coming, and I'm very, very pleased about that.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor.
Any other comments or questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve entering into a contract with Engineering and Environmental Consultants, Inc., EEC, to complete a Tintown drainage study and determine alternative solutions to erosion and flooding using green design methods where possible.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve entering into a contract with Engineering and Environmental Consultants, Incorporated, EEC, to complete a Tintown drainage study and determine alternative solutions to erosion and flooding using green design methods where possible. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 11. I think we do have one person. Are you signed up for item number 11? Just Jed Wiskowski, or just 10 and 12? Did you want to do number 11 as well?
I kind of touched on that. I got a little mixed up. Forgive me. When I spoke the first time, so I think I'll stand down on this one.
Okay. Item number 11, discussion of possible approval of the second agreement for the sale and purchase of reclaimed water between the City of Bisbee and Freeport-McMoRan Corporation. Andy Heretic, once again, Interim Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We've had to adjust our contract with Freeport on the water that they purchased. Part of this was due to the fact that when the solar array went in, we owed them money because the calculators on the old formula just weren't accurate. So the calculators have been reviewed by the finance director and with Freeport. So this now puts Freeport in a position where they're actually purchasing water from us. Now, they have been doing it all along, and when we found the mistake, we got right on it with Freeport and the city attorney. So this is really a technical glitch in the contract that we just need to correct so that I can actually take possession of the check from Freeport. Because for 4 months, they've been holding onto this check. So it keeps adding up. So once we approve this, then we'll start making our regular. They'll start making their paying their bill on a regular basis.
Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the second amendment of the agreement for the sale and purchase of reclaimed water between the City of Bisbee and Freeport-McMoRan Corporation, FMI.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Heretic. We have already addressed item number 12. We'll go to item number 13. Discussion and possible direction from the mayor and council regarding the petition received from Richard Green on divesting our money from Wall Street and investing our money in Main Street. And we do have one person signed up for that, Mr. Richard Green.
Hi, my name is Richard Green. Hi, everybody. I live in Old Bisbee, and I presented a petition last council, or no, about three council sessions ago. It says, petition, divest our money from Wall Street, invest our money in Main Street. We, the undersigned, residing in Bisbee, urge the city government to, number one, create a fund that invests in socially responsible projects that are environmentally sustainable, like renewable energy, organic farming, mass public transit, and lending to small businesses, etc. Number two, start to divest its holdings from large Wall Street banks, dangerous fossil fuel development, and weapons for war. And number three, allow citizens to invest in and donate to this fund to get it initiated. I guess I'll just define divestment. It's basically the opposite of investment. It's taking your money out of something that you don't like. And investing in something that you do like. So basically, the local government investment pool of the city of Bisbee, which is directed through the state legislature or the state treasurer's department, has close to $500,000dollars. And most of it goes to, last time I checked, goes to Citigroup and Wells Fargo, which a couple months ago was found guilty of fraud. Or they actually settled a case. They were accused of fraud. So I don't want my money going to criminal institutions such as Citigroup and Wells Fargo. I spoke with the financial director a couple times, and it seems like it's going to be hard to do this legally. If it's a law, then I'd like to find out what law it is and what we could do to either change the law or to have more control and say over our finances here on the local level, to be more democratic in what we choose to use our money with. And I've spoken to past councils about the many other cities throughout the United States that are in the divestment movement, mostly in fossil fuels and starting green funds. And last council session I passed out the eco market, going green has never been easier, green mutual funds and green investing. So if all these other cities are doing it, then there's got to be a way to do it. You know, it's like, it seems like I'm just getting, no, you can't do it. Sorry, you can't do it. But how are they doing? You know, and then people say, well, go find out. Well, you know, it's not really easy for me to go to another city and find out. I think it could be done. I think what law is it that says you can't take your own money and start an investment fund? Even with money that people, I know people, I'll donate money to the fund. People will give money to this fund if they know it's going to something good. Is there a law that says you can't start a different kind of fund? I mean, I don't believe so. And if so, then we need to change that. Anyway, I hope the council can take a small step to creating this social responsible investment. Thank you.
I will respond to your petition. I was up late last night and I wrote some of these thoughts down, but I speak for myself, not necessarily for the council or staff, but I wrote rather some extended thoughts down on this particular subject matter. And first off, I want to commend Mr. Green for taking an interest in municipal government, especially his desire to create a fund for the for socially responsible projects. That's very admirable.
Thanks.
However, I will give a basic explanation of why this petition, even though it is noble, is not the function of municipal government to be speculators in the financial markets. And you listed some of those, especially in your first premise on your petition. This is an answer to Mr. Green's item number one, which is, and I'll state your first item, create a fund that invests in socially responsible projects that are environmentally sustainable, like renewable energy, organic farming, mass public transit, and lending to small businesses, etc. I can tell you that the municipal government cannot lend to small businesses because it is illegal to do that. It would open a lot of can of worms even if it was legal. The other recommendations that Mr. Green asserts is his first item, is even if the city of Bisbee wanted to create a fund as such, no doubt we would have to receive permission from the state treasurer, the attorney general's office, and the state auditor, no doubt, and I'm fairly certain they would probably say no to this, and I'm certain the council, and I don't mean to speak for them, but I'm certain the council would also say no to such an endeavor as well, because the city would be speculating with the community's money, and that is something I would not really want to get involved with, speculation of the taxpayers' money. An update of where we are on the some of the major accounts that we have, the city has, are these. The Wastewater Reserve Fund, which is about $1.8 million. However, that cannot be used because it is part of the loan covenant that we have with the Wastewater Infrastructure Finance Authority. So we really can't use that. We have to maintain that balance. It's sort of an insurance policy they have with us. As the city of Bisbee, we pay about $1.2 million a year on the debt of about $11 million right now. We keep money in a local bank to pay bills, currently around $900,000. However, that fluctuates as money comes in and money goes out. So this money could not be used, but that's the monies that we have to pay bills. But once again, it does fluctuate. This amount at the end of January was about $1.4 million, no doubt as some quarterly and perhaps monthly deposits were made in from sales tax and state share revenues, et cetera. A third major account is the that you made reference to is the LGIP, the Local Government Investment Pool, which at the end of January was around $531,000 approximately. And I suppose this account could be used. However, I doubt that the various state entities that I mentioned earlier would allow BSBY to do this. And I personally would not support, as I said just a moment ago, speculation in the markets with the people's money. So I would not support that. Item number two, start to divest its holdings from large Wall Street banks, dangerous fossil fuel development, and weapons of war. And this would be very difficult, if almost impossible, because most of the banking system has been extremely consolidated, not only in the United States but around the planet, especially with the repeal of Glass-Steagall, Section 20 and Section 32, which means that depositor money can be used as an asset to purchase securities, and that's what they do in many cases. So the combination of banking and investment activities is now one with the investment side of it usually on top. That's their primary concern, it appears. So whoever deposits money in the banking system, whether it's municipal governments or individuals, really has no idea where that money goes, and often they go to items that Mr. Green points out. However, for a municipal government, service is extremely important. So we have very limited options in this area, or maybe no options at all. The international economic system is all tied together, and if you look at where the major international corporations are invested, you'll see that they're pretty much all invested in each other to a large degree because they have money and they have to invest it. So what you're talking about, I know exactly what you're saying, and you're correct. For example, if one major international bank goes under, probably 5 or 10 would follow along with that because they own each other essentially. So Mr. Green's item number three allows citizens to invest in and donate to this fund to get it initiated. Well, item number three becomes a rather moot point because of the reasons I stated previously on that. However, that does not forbid a group of citizens creating their own private fund. And I do want to talk about funds just a little bit. There's a fund called the PSPRS, the Public Safety Personal Retirement System, and over the course, and these are professional financiers. And that fund, through their investments, my estimate, kind of a rounded estimate on that, from late 08, let's say up to middle of 2010, 2011, they lost about 35 to 40% of their money in really bad investments, in particularly mortgage-backed securities. So no matter what fund and what businesses you would like to have that money in, it's nevertheless risky, and it's speculating, and as I said a couple of times, I would not be interested in speculating with the taxpayers' money. So,
what can I just point out?
But once again, I in closing, I commend you, Mr. Green, and I it's fascinating that you would bring this up. All the people who signed the petition as well, and there was a lot of people signed. What was the number on that, like 100?
Probably more because some of them were lost.
Okay, yeah. A lot of signatures. However, for the various reasons I stated, the municipal government of BSBY, in my opinion, cannot accommodate Mr. Green's petition. Ms. Buono, the finance director, if I've misspoke on something or some of the information I have is incorrect, you could come up and correct me on that.
Could I just say...
Thank you.
Say one thing,
yeah,
Mr. Mayor. There's
of course.
Lot of change going on right now in markets, and these cities are doing it. So there's got to be a way to do it. I mean, how are they doing? There's also green mutual funds and green bonds that are completely AAA rating. I don't know if you read that in the Eco Market, but there's no chance of losing. It's bonds. It's like guaranteed. So there's opportunities to be had where we don't have to, you know, we don't have to lose our money to these Wall Street crashes. I don't know. I have lots of people that I've known that lost a lot of money in the 08 crash. And I don't know if the city of BSBY lost a lot of money, but I think there's a way around it. And I don't see why we can't start a fund, even if it's
just a small fund, even if it's just symbolic, where people could donate to the fund, and it's managed by the city.
I appreciate your efforts. You took a lot of time and work to look into this and investigate this. But I will say that other peoples in the community might have ideas for a different type of fund, maybe a precious metals fund or whatever that possibly could be. So I'm not sure I want to move into that area. I think it's risky and speculative. I'm just not willing to speculate with the taxpayers' money. As I mentioned, the PSPRS, that is taxpayer money. And so they lost about 35-40% of their money in that particular pension fund. And so those investments supposedly were good, but they didn't turn out to be so good. And so as a consequence of that, we've had dramatic increases in our pension fund, the PSPRS, and the taxpayers are funding that now. So another city fund, I find myself shying away from something like that because I wouldn't want to lose the people's money, even 10% of it. Maybe it would make money. I don't know. But once again, it's speculative. No matter what that business or idea is. I know you have a different viewpoint. Maybe we should gamble. Well, I don't know. any other questions from comments from the council? Councilmember Sullivan.
Thank you, Mayor. It's always a gamble. Investments and all, it's always a gamble. And we're investing anyway, but it's just who are we letting manage our investment? And we already did lose. We lost $500,000 in the investment in 2008 when the market dropped out. So we've already lost that 40% from our investment. What Mr. Green is talking about is actually totally valid, and I'm really proud of him for bringing it up and bringing it to council, because it is very progressive, and Bisbee's not ready for it, obviously. But this is the way we need to go if we want to protect our investments. And I would like to hear from legal advice, exactly what he's asking. What is permitting us for Ms. Bono?
Yes. One of the things. No, I'm sorry. The one that I gave you that you have right there. This one. Good evening, Mayor and Council. We have to remember when we're talking about the LGIP is that's cash. There was no loss of $500,000. The numbers, Mr. Green had done a records request for me. I went through it. And that is a transfer out of that fund. What happened is they had a bunch of money and they put it up there because they didn't need it right away. A bunch of cash. This isn't investment loss. So somewhere around in June of 2008-2007, that was the ending of the sewer plant. So what they did, management at that time, they pulled down the cash. They needed it for payments that had to do with the sewer. So this isn't a loss of whatsoever. I just want to make that clear. This is just an account that they had $500,000 more than what they needed, and they put it up there. It's gone up and down. In 2012, 2007, December, it was $918,000. In 12 of 8, it was back up to 857. So what was happening is they were moving the cash from your main account up to the investment pool. One of the things about the investment pool, when to us $500,000 is a whole lot of money. To the state, it's not a whole lot of money. The interest that we earned just this last year on the $500,000 that's sitting there is only $1,000. What this does for little communities like us is it's fully backed, and the state manages it, the state treasurer. So you don't have the small, some of the big cities, they have huge treasury departments that can move things around. There are funds that you can do, but it's very limited, and it has to be controlled. But we don't really have those resources available here. And one of the things with the PSPRS is there was so many investigations. And they didn't. Nothing was illegal. It just wasn't smart. So why those funds lost money, it just increased our contribution rate in PSPRS. So when you have those people making those sorts of decisions and not a whole lot of expertise, That's how come the smaller communities rely on the risk pool. And, you know, I went in and I looked at it. In the risk pool, a lot of them are the banks. There's certain things that our money goes into, and but it's not all just Wall Street. You know, you have smaller ones. You have, you know, we can go into it in detail, but, you know, they have their money spread out, and we basically just can't control it. You know, Microsoft, Eli Lilly and Company, Nissan Motor Acceptance, Ford Credit, Freddie Mac, Chevron. So there's certain parts, and it breaks it down, and there's monthly reports that go out. So if you want to follow it, you can. But a lot of them are treasury bills because, you know, we're fully, what do they call it, fully backed. Part of the thing about the treasurer, too, is they're there to make sure the collateralization and all the banks that we have all our money in are fully collateralized. So they have to have 102% of our value. So I think as a smaller community that we're pretty good. We would have to hire somebody that had the expertise for $500,000. So go ahead, Mr. Connors.
Yeah. Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, it's fantastic, and you said resources, and I think you were talking, Sharon, about resources, the money, but we also the resources to do the paper, you know, to do the administrative work, and then, and I'm not saying that it's, yeah, hey, well, we'll hire somebody, hey, you know, you do it, hey, somebody will do it, but the point is that there isn't any time, and in the 40-hour work week, you know, and like to right on the nose, Serena Sullivan, it is too progressive for this town right now, mm-hmm. You know, and if anybody's learned a lesson, it's the guy who's leaving in 8 months of, you know, 49%, 51%. I mean, we're exactly like the rest of the country on how far ahead we're thinking or how far backwards we want to think and hold on to the old ways and the, you know, and do things the old way. And I'm not that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to live in yesterday. And to the gentleman who spoke earlier about moving here and having trouble, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of different types of people that come here. But the fact of the matter is that this town is probably, when a group of folks let go and let it just, you know, grow into whatever the next manifestation it needs to be, is what it's going to be. And it probably will be a little more progressive. Maybe not. But the time, the administrative, and you can talk to, you know, a few dozen people who bemoan not getting an email or a text back from somebody, you know, in public works or our city manager or a city council person. It's the time in the day. How much money? Yeah. We don't have any. Just write a check. It's not. They just. If you weren't listening, there's a bunch of things and hoops and people and things that we have to do before we write that check. And we're taking the time now at a city council meeting, and you've taken a lot of time to investigate this. But to do this today or in the next city council meeting or before the end of this administration, there's a reason why things move slowly sometimes, because really bad things can happen as fast as a good thing. But things, and I've learned that a little bit in sitting up here, is that as painfully slow as things move towards progressive thinking and divesting and reinvesting in other things, there's a lot of people that have to be informed on that. And there's a lot of other...
$100.
Richie, that's... There's a lot of other things...
Give that back, Sharon.
I am not touching that bill.
You know, and talk about doing the right thing. You know, we are. You know, we sit up here for 4 years, and the mayor, as many times as he can, you know, 2 year stints, we're doing the right thing. And if it's not quick enough, come on up. Grab a seat. There's an election coming up here. You want to do something? Come on.
What?
Come on. Nah, do more than that. Put your name in the hat. That's Ben Franklin's. But the fact of the matter is that we don't have the resources, both people and or the money, to cut that check. It doesn't. I want to do it, but not tonight.
Let's go to Mr. Johnson, the city manager. I think he has a few comments.
Sure, very, very quickly. Mayor and Council, we talk about just my past experiences, and we talk about cities that actually do this. In my time with the city of Tucson, the finance director, the budget and finance director, the finance director actually sits and administers and watches the financial markets. And it's a very monumental task, and he is a financial advisor. And so again, this is going back to 2006, so the administration of this, it's not something to take very, very lightly. Now, if it's the pleasure of future mayor and councils to consider that, fine, but it's a monumental task. So there are cities that actually do this, but the administration piece is something to not take lightly. And so I just wanted to throw that out there, because there are cities that do this. But quite frankly, we got to be cognizant of the level of effort it's going to take. And you're a market expert. This is what you do. This is what you know. And it's nothing easy to take lightly or to take lightly. So I just wanted to throw that out, that there are cities that do that. And one is the city of Tucson. But that's a huge billion-dollar enterprise. And so I just wanted to throw that out.
Appreciate that. I would say, we'll go to Mr. Hansen, the city attorney. I would say, if the municipal government lost $250,000 of the taxpayer money, that would be a monumental task to explain it to the people of the town. And that's a risk I'm not willing to take. Mr. Hansen, the city attorney.
Yes, to address Councilwoman Sullivan's question. Yeah, there are, there's a statute, I was trying to pull it up on my phone here, wasn't successful. But there's a statute that limits what city finance or city treasurers, city finance directors can invest money in. And they're all built around safety concerns, FDIC-backed deposits. The local government investment pool is specifically statutorily authorized as an investment vehicle. I tried to go through the statute and see if there were anything that would meet the general outline of Mr. Green is looking to invest in. And I couldn't find it, but that doesn't mean that it's not there. I also needed to know what kind of cash we had available to see whether it was feasible or not, too. And I was told that Ms. Bono was going to speak to, you know, what kind of cash the city had invested from time to time. It was my impression that the city, for the most part, unlike the county, which takes in the taxes, doesn't have, you know, huge amounts of money, and most of it is what you'd call working capital. So there wouldn't be a lot that you could invest in long-term investments. Almost everything would have to be short-term cash in, cash out. But I still haven't heard the numbers, so maybe I'll after whatever the council decides to do tonight, I'll look at some of the cash numbers, get them from Mr. Johnson or Ms. Bono, and then see if anything that Mr. Green was looking to do could fit into one of those slots. But I guarantee you, it's whatever it is, the state statute is going to require it to be triple A, quadruple A in investments, because I think once upon a time cities and counties got involved in speculative ventures and managed to lose a lot of money, so they put a lot of restrictions on it to make sure that didn't happen. As Councilwoman Sullivan pointed out, that doesn't mean LGIP doesn't lose money. Sometimes they do as well. It's all an investment, and any investment entails a certain amount of risk. But the statutes are designed to minimize that as much as possible.
As I mentioned earlier, and Ms. Bono confirmed, in the LGIP is about $531,000, and that is really, if we wanted to take a risk, that's really the only place. But I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't take that risk. Councilmember Hansen.
Mr. Green, I want to commend you for bringing this forward. I think it is too progressive. I think you hit the nail on the head. I don't think we're there yet, but this is something I really think in the future needs to be looked at, as to see if there's some way that we can accommodate that, even if it's just a, you know, baby step that we go, because this is something I think that, no, I don't want your $100.
I'll take it.
I can't be bribed. No. And I think that's something that we need to look at, because I think it is the wave of the future for a lot of different communities, and I think it's something that Bisbee should be very cognizant of and look at it in the future.
As the city attorney alluded to, the state treasurer's office, there's probably some pretty intense restrictions on that, and there's probably some pretty good reasons for that. Now, something comes to my mind, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, maybe longer, Orange County, California, does that ring a bell? Where they lost massive amounts of money in essentially, I think, derivative trading or whatnot. Essentially went belly up, bankrupt. I don't want to run that risk.
I'm not saying that we need to do it now. What I am saying is that this is something in the future that we need to look at. I think that there is some merit to it, and I think that this, it's worth looking into. We can't do it at this time. We don't have the money to do it at this time to cover the cost for the administrative or any of those other things that would come up. But I think this is a legitimate way to go and to take a look at it to see if it is something that Bisbee can do.
Councilmember Sullivan.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to make a motion that we direct the city attorney to look into the possibility of creating a small, separate green investment pool, starting with Richard Green's $100, because I do want his $100, and I would like to put in $100 of my own money, so I would like to make that motion with a $200 start.
Before we have a second, we can do this before we have a second. Are you? Does this mean you are expecting government money to be involved in this fund?
No.
Oh, just private money. Well, you can do that on
but
your
it's
own.
But it's on behalf of the city of Bisbee, so people are investing the money that goes to the city of Bisbee. It would belong to the city of Bisbee, the investment. It's a donation.
I think that in our budget we do have a donations thing, but you want it specifically for green energy from public donations.
Not just green energy, but anything green. And also, I want to amend my motion, pardon me.
Okay.
I don't know if I mentioned, but I'd like to add that for him to research so that it would comply with all state statutes.
Yes, and let me make sure I understand it. I had understood that Mr. Green's petition was for the city's to invest its money in this. What I heard you just say is it would be private citizens not using city money, private citizens investing in it with the proceeds to go to the city?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's right. I'll take a crack at it, but I think to set up in investment funds would take a lot more. You'd probably need a securities lawyer to do that, but I'll do what I can. I understand the intent, and I'll do what I can. So,
Mayor,
Councilmember Dunn,
whether there's a second here or not, but anyway, I mean, I somewhat am sympathetic to what's being stated here, and there's a couple. We're kind of discussing a number of items here, and we're kind of using some generalizations and some scare tactics that kind of concern me. Certainly, in the financial market today, there are what are called socially responsible investment pools for just about everything. Whether, and I think in terms of the city, you're kind of limited to very short-term investments because, and unfortunately, short-term investments are only earning like a tenth or a percent interest at this point in time. But I think that those instruments are available from any bank and any investment firm, and I'm surprised that the state does not offer that. I am president of the Bisbee Foundation. We are part of a broad investment pool under the Arizona Community Foundation, and they offer a socially responsible investment pool, which has been performing quite well because those types of industries are doing well in the present economy. I certainly would like to investigate further in terms of what are some options that the city might consider. One of them would be that. I would like to investigate further why the state does not offer a socially responsible investment pool option for short-term investments of the type that we're kind of limited to. I also want to bring attention to several things that are ongoing here through the Bisbee Foundation, and that is we have Evergreen Cemetery Endowment, which is part of, under the umbrella of the Bisbee Foundation, and in turn the Arizona Community Foundation, which was contributed to by local citizens. It has grown to $55,000. Our investment pool returns are such that we can distribute 5% annually and still not touch the principal. And certainly that has been used to provide certain improvements to the Evergreen Cemetery. I certainly would like to investigate other possibilities. Certainly at one point several years ago, there was a discussion about what to do with the money that is in the, at that time was in the Arts Council Fund. Melanie Green was hired or asked to advise us in terms of how we might make better return on those funds. Her recommendation at that time, with the approval of the city manager at that time, was that those funds could be placed with the Bisbee Foundation as part of our broader investment pool. They would provide greater earnings. We have very similar objectives. I think that was a recommendation of everyone at that point in time, but it never happened. I would like to explore some of these options further, and certainly the immediate one would be to look at why isn't the state offering a socially responsible investment pool option for whatever level of investment, where it's very short term, whatever requirements we have. There's various instruments available to meet all of those. I'd also like, it concerned me when we met, Lucci here was a name to our youth council. It kind of concerns me that we have $125,000 that we cannot spend the principal. Last year we earned on that for the benefit of youth $99.01. On that $124,000 that we have that we're holding. To me, that's, I would like to explore some other options there. And I think certainly the Bisbee Foundation, among others, can assist with that. It concerns me that we're not getting, and also I want to state that the Bisbee Foundation is such that anybody can make donations. That's why we are as large as we are right now, and why the Bisbee Evergreen Cemetery has grown to $55,000 is because of local contributions. And so that option is there. We have an environmental fund. We benefit students' scholarships and a number of other things. So that those options of investing into the community, I think, is something we all need to be thinking about. So I can't help but stand up and speak. And that is an option that citizens in this community have in terms of investing, giving back to the community. But I think we have some other options I would like to look at in terms of how we can get a better return for our funds that we do hold, and also why we can't have an environmental responsible fund that we invest in with the state.
Point of order, sir.
Wait.
There's a motion on the table.
I don't believe it was seconded, but no. I would.
Did you withdraw that original motion, Ms. Councilmember Sullivan?
I amended it.
Okay. You're probably going to have to repeat that amended motion.
Okay, I'll try.
Hang on just a second. City Manager has a few comments. Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, very quick. Mayor and Council, if the motion passes, one of the things I will point out, and I will ask the help of Michael Vasquez, who's a financial advisor, and he's worked with Cochise County in the past, has offered his services up at no cost. So if this motion passes, we'll certainly need the help of an expert in this particular area, and it will be a challenge, quite frankly, with what Sharon has on her plate, also with her level of expertise. And that's no disrespect, Sharon, just want you to know, with her level of expertise, that's something that I would actually bring before you all if the motion passes.
I appreciate you saying that, because I was thinking the same thought. She doesn't need that. But is he going to come and manage $200 in investment? On that level, that's pretty small.
I mean, I don't know, but I was just wanted to throw that out. I'll certainly direct, you know, staff, or I'll reach out to a financial advisor that has expertise in this area. Because if you want more information, I want you all to be very well informed of what the options are.
I can appreciate that, and I'm with you. Ms. Buono doesn't need that added burden of going through the Wall Street Journal and finding certain green energy companies, and maybe it's hit and miss, right? No. Any other member of the council have any comments? I think my direction is pretty clear. If private individuals want to donate money, I suppose that's good, but I don't think you're going to get that many donations. I'm just speculating. I don't think you're going to get that many donations into green energy, various funds that one you might pick. So who's going to pick it? I mean, Mr. Johnson mentioned a person that maybe could say pick this one or pick that one. But nothing is guaranteed in marketplaces. Nothing is. So why don't you go ahead and restate your motion, and we'll proceed from there.
Thank you. Have you heard of quantum physics?
I'm sorry, what?
Quantum physics, power of thought?
No, I don't have that.
Okay. I move that we direct city staff to explore the options of creating a separate investment pool for the city of Bisbee that individuals can donate to that would benefit the city and that is socially responsible.
Second.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that motion. Second. Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilmember Dunn?
I guess the basis of my earlier comments was I would hope that we would not limit ourselves to only that option. Certainly, again, back in my experience at the Bisbee Foundation, for a period of time, we invested our own funds, as is being proposed here, and you don't want to go there. I'm also acknowledging that there are other investment pools with the very best investment firms and banks. We need to be considering that. And we need to look also at what are some of these other chunks of money that we have in our budget that are just sitting there, not earning anything. And I'm afraid that your motion that's before us limits us to just looking at bringing an expert that would help us decide whether we want to invest, manage our own pocket change, basically. I guess I don't favor that, but I would favor looking at a broader opportunities.
I can appreciate those comments, but I'm not going to speculate with the taxpayers' money. I will not do that, but I can support Councilmember Sullivan's motion and the second on that. Councilmember Connors.
Thank you. You know, this month and next month is all budget talk. You know, why don't we talk more about this and actually identify what the heck it is we're talking about, you know, as far as money goes? I mean, I understand what we're talking about, but we got to finance, you know, we got to, you know, yeah, we'll do something, you know, we can do something else, you know. That's another thing, is prioritizing. You know, Rich, we have to prioritize the things that we do. And really, the only thing that we do is what you're asking us to try to do. And that's the only thing that we can do is pay bills and hold money, give money or withhold money. That's really all council does for the most part. So and these are the most grueling 2 months of being up here, which you'll realize once you're a city councilman up here, Richie. Is April, May, and then, you know, June is, it has to be done. So we're going to find out how little money we have to invest, how much we can pull out from there. You know, we're willing to do that. But again, Richie, it's like priority. You know, what is really the most important thing that we do today? So I'm willing to do it. I like what I've heard for the most part, but, you know, these folks do all the work and then some, and we want to give them more to do. So, you know, that's something that we can't just sit here and say, I don't care, you know. I don't care. I want green, and I want my money out. It's like we have to realize who is doing this work. So, and it's tough, man, because I want to do almost everything that people talk to me about, but when I say, I want you to do that. I want the city, I want the finance person to do that. I want you to figure out what money we have, and I want you to do that. It just costs money. We have to pay people, and you have to realize that. So, I'd love to do this, and I'll shut up and second something, but
you know, reality, if she puts it at the bottom of her list of priority things to do, then that's where it belongs, that's where it is, and that's where it's going to be. And if it, you know, rises to the top like cream, then that's when we're going to deal with that. As far as the city goes, you know, moving parts, there's people that get hurt, and there are people that retire, and there's people that we hire and fire, and all of these things. So, you know, in the scheme of things.
Okay. We have a motion on the table. I actually think that I'd like to amend it again.
Okay, we'll withdraw the previous motion.
I'd like to withdraw my previous motion. And I would like to state that previous motion again and add on, since we're already going to be asking this Michael Vasquez to help us look into it, right? We might as well also ask staff to explore other options within our city investment pool as well. It's not going to hurt to look into what options are available.
I'm getting a little squeamish on that one. We have a second on that. We can talk after the second. Who would like to second that?
I'll second.
Okay, now we're talking about the LGIP. And in my opinion, that's hands off. I would never support anything, even looking at the LGIP, of investing it and speculating with the taxpayers' money. So I would vote against that particular motion that you have made. I think that is a dangerous course to go down. And I do want to refer to the youth fund that Councilmember Dunn brought up. And I know the rate of return isn't a lot on that. And former Councilmember Giacomino locked up $103,000 of that in June of 2005, so it couldn't be touched. And so maybe it hasn't had a great rate of return, but there has been monies drawn out of that in various times for a slide at the pool, et cetera. And it's grown to $125,000 in that ballpark figure. She hasn't lost half of it like PSPRS did. It's still there. And so I appreciate you locking that money up. I remember you came to me a long, long time ago and said, let's lock it up because the city will spend it somewhere. And I appreciate that. So we have a motion. Did we get a second? Okay. On this item, Ms. Coronado, I need a roll call vote.
Could you repeat the motion again?
Sure. Yes, I would love to. I move that we direct staff with the help of experts to investigate the potential options for, one, creating a separate investment fund that residents and anyone can donate to that would benefit the city of Bisbee and goes into a socially responsible fund, and two, explore other options that are available with our city investment pool.
Okay. She seconded it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I already stated that on this item, Ms. Coronado, I need a roll call vote.
Councilmember Connors.
At your convenience, aye.
Councilmember Hansen.
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy.
Nay.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Eardley?
Nay. Motion passes 4-3. We will now go to council comments. Councilmember Hansen.
No, city manager.
City manager's report.
All right. You're ready to go. I got it. I'll make it quick. Tomorrow you will be receiving your monthly financials. March just ended, so we had to close out the month yet, but for February of 2016, we're at 67% of the fiscal year that has elapsed. I'm very happy to say that we are, on the revenue side, we're very close to that 67%. The line items that we've seen, obviously, the sharpest increase are in charges for services directly because of the interfacility transfer program that we have in place and the increased transfers coming from the hospital. We're at 87.3%. collected as of February, which is huge. So we're very, very happy. And the last year we were at $679,000, and this year we're at $1,026,000. So I'm very happy of the hard work that they put forth in the department. And also in licenses and permits line item, last year we collected about $71,151. This year we're at 73.6%, and we are at $76,156,000. So very, very happy. So total revenue last year, we, at this point in the fiscal year, we only collected about 57.1%. So total revenue last year, we're at $3,796,498, and this year we're at $4,678,234. So very happy. We're very close to, you know, that budgeted amount. Very happy about that. On the expenditure side, all of our department heads have done an outstanding job with managing their budgets appropriately, realizing the financial realities and where we are at this point in time. The only line items that we've seen increases above that 67% are in the information systems. A lot of IT computer upgrades that needed to happen years and years and years down the line. And as I stated before, Ms. Coronado has done an outstanding job in staying on top of that particular program, and Sean Trackman has done an outstanding job with making sure we're on top of things. Also on the fire side, we're a little bit higher on the fire side due to, again, the increase in transfers and the overtime and the costs associated with having to do those transfers, but they're bringing in the revenue to support. So last year on the fire side, we were at $1,360,000 expended, and this year we've expended about $1.4 million. So those are the main areas of concern. And also, I'm sorry, in the garage, last year we expended $57,028. And this year we've expended $99,556,000. And that increase is because we brought Dave Sporhays on board, who is our heavy equipment mechanic. He's also supporting the Bisbee bus program, and part of that salary is reimbursed, as well as he's supporting us as relates to the street and infrastructure equipment that we purchase to make sure that we can adequately keep those pieces of equipment on the road. So it's a very small investment with a huge payoff for us. And so at the end of the day, total expenditures, we're at $4,213,000 this time last year. This year, we've expended $4,790,000. But keep in mind, too, we are still below that 67% threshold at 64.5% expended budget. And so total, the beauty of all this in my mind, net revenue over expenditure, we were in the hole about $416,000, $833, and this year we're in the hole slightly at $111,766, so a much better number. So, again, I want to commend all of our department heads and the staff for the work they've done. We've took some very proactive and very difficult steps, and part of my job and responsibility is try my best to deliver you a balanced budget at the end of the year and make sure our fiduciary responsibilities are met and are meeting your expectations. All right, so moving over in the area of finance, as I just gave you your monthly financials. So the finance department is continuing its work with the banking transition. They're meeting with a representative from us, other financial institutions, to get that up and running, ready to go. We've been meeting with the department heads the last couple of days as it relates to the budget, preparation for our budgets, and so they've been making their case and trying to slide some money in here and there in the particular line items, but we've been working very hard on the budget process, and so we're very, very excited about the possibility of being able to present something much sooner than we did on last year. And we anticipate our budget time worksheet with our state shared revenues to come any day now. The League of Arizona Cities and Towns has discussed and expressed that will be coming in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully we get that before the end of April. In the fire department, as you know, was presented earlier this evening. Chief Burnlight, he's actually going out to California on the 12th to pick up the new ambulance, and he's going to fly out, and he's going to start working his way back that day, and he'll do his routine inspection and walk through, so that should go relatively smoothly. The department also completed their physical agility test, which is a biannual activity. They completed their state-required PAC test, which allows them to be qualified for state and federal wildland fires. On the training and education front, the paramedics that we have in the paramedic program, they're 50% completed, and so we'll be looking to see these guys graduate in the next couple of months, and I'm so proud. They're working really, really hard, and they're really exhausted, but they're still fighting through to get done with the program. Captain Davey, he's now rope rescue certified and confined space trained. Lieutenant Richardson and Lieutenant Ray are going to their Inspector 2 class up in Sedona this weekend, and those certifications will allow the department to bolster their inspection program. So it provides a broader spectrum of inspections and expertise as it relates to that particular area and service that they provide to our community. We're averaging about 125 interfacility transfers a month, along with the IGA, with Palominas. We're doing almost 70% of the interfacility transfers coming out of the hospital. This year, and Chief wanted you all to know that we've hit alarm number 900 for the year, and they're on track to exceed the number of record calls that they experienced on last year, and that was over 2,700 calls last year, so they're looking at probably exceeding that number. And the Chief and I, we've been discussing for about the past month trying to go ahead and move forward in this fiscal year to start replacing our turnout gear. Sharon, she's on a state contract site to try to find a vendor that's on state contract so we can go ahead and start replacing the equipment. And I know when you look at it, it looks like, oh, the equipment is, it's okay. No, it's not. We're talking about two cycles out of their required, their tag requirement, so to speak. So the cycle is 7 years. And we're talking about turnout gear that's exceeded that 14-year cycle. So they're at 17, 18, 19 years at those turnouts. They're using that same equipment. So we've got to move at this point in time. And so the Chief, he's been very proactive, and Sharon's going to work off state contract to try to find something so that we can go ahead and move forward sooner rather than later. In the police department, we have two candidates that are moving on to the academy. They start on Sunday, and that graduation is, I believe it's October, graduation. October, he's tired. Yeah, graduation is, I get it. graduation is in October, and once the 12-week FTO process, we'll probably have those two officers on the road sometime early November, we're hoping for. And we also have another testing coming up here on the 7th of May, and those candidates selected would move on to the January 11th Academy class. So we're slowly trying our best to fill those vacant slots that we have in the department, and so certainly kudos to Chief and Officer Long for the work that they're doing. He's also, specifically Chief, is finalizing the police manual. That should be coming out here pretty, pretty soon. We'll bring that before Mayor and Council for consideration. Dan Sabin, who's with Trident Security, he's the Executive Director of Trident Security. He's the retired police chief for the city of Buckeye. He's coming down on Saturday, and both he and the chief will get together and comb through that document to make sure, hey, look, we're eyes across, eyes are dotted, T's are crossed. I'm tired too. and so we'll, that should be completed this weekend. So I would anticipate we probably be looking at the next council meeting to have that before you for consideration. And lastly, in the area of, and Councilwoman, she'll touch on public works, but one of the things I wanted to point out since it was brought up earlier today as it relates to Pappy Light Systems and any lost opportunity, one thing I want to make sure you all, or remind you all, we didn't have a consultant on board during that process, and that consultant, which is Armstrong, is the one that prepares the RFP for consideration of the for the Pappy Light System out at the airport. So we didn't have that in place, and so it elapsed even before, right around the time I think I got here, if I'm not mistaken, but that consultant is on board, and they're actually working and preparing. I think that it should be done within the next 5 weeks, the RFP itself, so we can go ahead and move forward with the bidding process for the replacement of that Pappy Light System. So it's always good for folks when they come up and speak to know the facts as opposed to, you know, talking off the cuff when they don't know what they're talking about. So that's all I have, sir.
Thank you, sir. We'll go to council comments. Council Member Hansen.
Thank you, Mayor. I just have a few comments. Not really. It's just one page. first of all, the paving has restarted, and it is in the San Jose area. The roads that have been that were paved last month were Hereford, Manzanita, Ocotillo, Yucca, and South Barnett. In the next 2 weeks, they'll be starting on Mountain View, Silver, Copper, and Nugget. And before they start, they're going to have to do some prepping, and citizens will be notified several days in advance, and the city crews will assist them in reparking
providing parking during the project, and it will be at least 2 weeks before they finish that project. Then the next area will be the Mountain View neighborhood on Naco Highway. After that, they're going to be concentrating on repairing the Santa Cruz Wash, which is eroding the side. It's already up to within about a foot of the highway or the road there, but there are also houses on the other side that have been impacted because of that erosion. I mean, you've got a fence that is, you know, coming down because of the erosion is beyond the property line. In the middle of June, the efforts will be shifted to Warren, and the streets that we'll be paving will be on the west side of Arizona Street. Briggs, Houghton, Clausen, Rupi, and I know I'm going to mispronounce this, Duramonte, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't have French in college and can barely speak English, so. The Bisbee Road is going to be refurnished, and it'll be done by a state contractor, and it is weather sensitive, so it's going to have to be done during the time where it's at least 40 degrees and up. And funds for that project will probably push it into the fall time frame. Other things that are going on is that Public Works, along with the city police department, began their OSHA-required fire drills, and it was held today. And it happened at City Hall, and congratulations to Chief Bernalite for performing the required drill and keeping our work areas safe. The library has 10 new computers that have been installed, along with the Microsoft Office suite, thanks to the Friends of the Library. And they have the library has also partnered with the Bisbee Royale to show a movie a month, and the attendance has exceeded over 80 people. So that's something that if you're not aware of, there is a monthly showing of different movies, and it is free. Summer reading program, Read Our Town, will probably be one of the best summer programs that we've had because they're going to take it out of the library and they're going to go on the road. And what the department is going to do is donate books based on what the subject matter is. For instance, when they go to the desert arboretum, I'm tired too, they will get a book that will identify all of the different plants that are there. And the Public Works is donating those books. Different departments, I guess, are doing that, Andy. And they'll also be going to the wastewater plant and other city locations. And the participation is limited to 35 people. And for us adults who have trouble using computers, they are going to be starting this summer a literacy for adults with computers. So that's what's happening in Public Works.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.